You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. My name is Patrick Smith. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts and all the normal sort of Google Podcasts, Audible, all that sort of good stuff, Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube, enjoy the show, hit like and subscribe and, you know, keep in touch with us. We always love a bit of feedback. On this week's show, two overtime games for the Belfast Giants against Scottish opposition, both with very different outcomes. We have David Goodwin coming to join us later in the show, and we also have a bit of news and look at the goals of the week. And you know, there is one big bit of news, but I'm going to come to that later. I'm looking forward to that big bit of news. I'm sure you all know what that is. Mr. McGimsey, how are you doing?
Not bad, Patrick. Nice to see you. And you too, Sam. Hi. Wouldn't ignore you.
How are you doing, Sis?
I'm just saying, I can see two wee blurs at the top of my screen right now. Literally had I had my eye drops put in today for a laser eye treatment, which is in surgery in 2 weeks' time at Cathedral Eye Clinic. And they talked me through what's going to happen and which way the laser is going to burn into my eye, and it's going to do this and it's going to do that. So I had a couple of trips to the toilet in between. You know what? I got this. I hate wearing these. I just don't like wearing glasses anymore. Cathedral Eye Clinic's a spot, and 2 weeks tomorrow, and we'll see. Comes out and very, very quickly, I believe, and hopefully it'll be back to the normal. Well, not back, but well, back to eyesight that I wouldn't have to wear glasses at a few years ago, which will be great.
Mate, there is a joke here that somebody's making about your commentary in the eyesight, but I wouldn't dare make a joke like that.
Even if you put it on the screen, I can't read it, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, the Belfast Giants, as we said, had two games this weekend, both against Scottish opposition. The first game took place on Friday night in Belfast, and it was against the Dundee Stars. 3-2 win for your Belfast Giants, but it was the Dundee Stars who got off the mark first. James Phelan, and is it Xavier or Javier, says?
I was calling him Javier, but then sure, it's probably
somebody
wrong.
Corrected you, didn't I?
Yeah.
And Pouliot, yeah,
Pouliot.
I'm gonna Pouliot or Pouliot?
Pouliot, I was told.
Oh, right, okay, there you go. I'm sure every day. Two goals of the Dundee Stars that opened the scoring about halfway through the game. And then the Giants started to hit back. Greg Prince, good to see him back in the lineup, good to see him scoring. And then Aaron Azarian with a goal with just under 3 minutes left. And then the game-winning goal in overtime to seal the 2 points for the Belfast Giants. Jackson Whistle in nets for your Belfast Giants. 27 shots on, 2 goals against. The other side, Lucas Brown, 49 shots on, 3 goals against. Pavel Halas and Vitas Lukasevicius were your two referees. Davey, why did we have to come back? What was the problem with opening this game?
The two games are like a sort of very, very similar games in that the both teams that got themselves behind showed that level of compete and they didn't want to quit. And, you know, why did we get ourselves behind? Why do you get yourself behind in any game? You don't mean to. You know, I don't know if you want to play the highlights or not.
I'm just bringing them up.
But listen, we did get ourselves behind in that. And as I say, there the sort of the desire to stick in the game, and right up to what was it, 2-3 minutes to go, and we kept coming. Like I thought, yeah. Over the course of probably all three periods, we controlled the game pretty well. We conceded potentially against the run of play, if you like. Jackson made a few good saves, but you know, let's make no mistake, this was a game that should have been won a lot more comfortably than it was. We created many, many good grade A opportunities in those first two periods. And we can say all we want about anyone since should be signing that young Dundee goalkeeper. Like that young Dundee goalkeeper played well on the night. He's 1-10 in his last 11 games. You know, we should have been putting more behind him than we did. Yes, he had a very good game. We need to be burning down a wee bit more there and taking the opportunities that came our way. It was probably a more comfortable win than it should have been. It should have been a more comfortable win than it turned out, having to go to overtime to put them away. But, you know, they're playing desperate as well. They're dying for points. Same with Fife. You know, these guys are really, really... As much as we want to beat the teams below us and we can't catch teams above us, it had the feeling at times through that game where we're just trying to get through games at the minute and there's not a lot of jump. But, you know, like as I said, we battled away and we came up with goals towards the end of the game, got it to overtime and came up with a real pretty overtime winner.
Why is it then, sorry, I'll come to you in a second, Sis, but just on that comment with regards to Lucas Brown, you know, why is it then that we put 49 shots on him, you know, is it just he's had a good night or is that more the calibre of the shooting from the Belfast Giants? Davey.
Oh, you're back to me again, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just sorry. Saying, because you made the comment, you made the comment, I'm going to come to Simon in a second, but you made the comment about Lucas Brown and saying, you know, he's 1-10. But so therefore, 49 shots against him in this game, you know, is it a case that it was the calibre of the Giants shooting or he had a good night, he had a hot night?
Look, he played well, he put himself, he offered himself into good positions whenever we got down low, he was quick off his line, he was out the top of his blue paint, he's got that big glove. He was putting it there, and we were finding it as much as anything else. You come up with 49 shots statistically, you should score around four to five goals. We didn't. Yes, he comes up with some big saves at big times. Our forwards are paid to fill that onion bag as well, and they will look back on those opportunities. With 49 opportunities we had, we should be scoring more than the 3 goals and taking 65 minutes almost to do it. Simon will have his own opinion on that. He spoke very well during the webcast about it. Yes, there was good saves. Yes, we should have scored more goals.
Simon, let's stick with that point right now then. So Lucas Brown and his performance, what was your take?
I thought the kid did really, really well. I mean, he played, that was his third game in 4 nights. We should have took advantage of that. We didn't. I don't know if the scouting report was shoot high glove. Stay away from high glove now. The kid's got it in his glove side. You know, the 3 goals that we scored all at this blocker side, and it took us 55 minutes to realize that's the case. You talk about, is it the goalie being hot or is it the shots not being good enough? I actually think it's probably the latter. You know, we've got a tendency of making goaltenders in this league look like world beaters because we're always looking for corners, which is what you do. You know, you want to try and do that, but we're not finding the corners, and that's the problem. And, you know, it is, you talk about, you know, grabbing a stick a bit hard or, you know, maybe a bit more, you know, there's a bit of pressure and what have you. See if you can't handle the pressure. You need to find a way to basically work through that. It's that simple. You know, the Dundee Stars, we're 3 games in a row there before that. We won 3, and we're trying to basically make that number. Sorry, my apologies. That was our third game that we're looking to try and win on our own. You know, you want to try and build that consistency. And we have a problem this year of not being able to win two games in a row. Yes, we've done that over against Coventry a few weeks ago. We did against Guildford last weekend. But the ones against Guildford weren't easy games. We found a way to get it done. And it just so happens that this year, when you look at last year's record and last year's team, the only time that we get beaten in the league last year against the Scottish team, and that game with the greatest respect, we should be winning those games for the teams that are below us in the league. We did that last year. And the only team that beat us last year in the league was Dundee, when, let's be honest, we turned up drunk on the last game of the season. And they beat us, 9-2 or 9-3, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yes, Stevie, you're absolutely right. But you know, when you look at the game itself and you talk about going to the dirty areas, I thought we did that. I thought they gave us chances. I mean, I think it was Laker first period. Laker was raging with himself. He threw his head to the sky, you know, right out front, tried to go top glove, kid grabbed it straight away. And it happened more than once. I think it was probably four or five times in the first period that glove just waved in front of it. Was it lucky? No, I don't think it was, because he was feeling it. And the longer you have you can't score against the goalie, whether he's an importer, whether he's a local born player who's basically just trying to get minutes in, doesn't matter. It gets confidence for them. So we should have done a lot better. We didn't. But we found a way to win, which was impressive. But that was the most important part. We found a way of getting it done. When you look at they go 2-0 up. Our first goal by Greg Prince, again, pass through the slot, tipped in front. You've got to get the dirty areas to get those goals. The second goal was a great play by Kieran Long. He basically walked the blue line. Again, Adam put Kieran back on defense to try and get an offensive-minded defenseman on. He gets across the top of the blue line. There it is right now, actually. And that pass through the slot diagonally to Naz was a great pass. And obviously that gets us back to 2-2. And then the third goal, 3-on-3. Naz realizes that the defenseman actually isn't a defenseman. I'm pretty sure it was Valentini that he was backing up in the net. Valentini just backs up, doesn't put his stick out front, because again, it's not the first thing a forward does when he's playing defense. And Naz capitalizes on using the guy as a screen, going top blocker to get the 3-2 win. So we did some good things, even though we couldn't score. But Davey just touched on it there. We should be putting the goals away a lot more than just getting three goals against Dundee at that stage. They are fighting for their life. Make no mistake about it. And they've got some really good players. You know, even at 2-0 down, I still thought we'd get back in it. Again, it just takes a wee bit of momentum to get that change. And Jackson did come up with a couple of big saves. And at the end of the day, that's what he's paid for. But again, we should be winning those games more comfortably. And as the bottom line is, we find a way to get that win, which wasn't pretty, but it ends up picking the 2 points up.
You have two different teams here and two different scenarios as well. And I'm not, you know, running down the Giants at all, because we talked last week about playing playoff hockey. The Dundee Stars and the Fife Flyers, and we'll come on to those shortly, are both in a frantic position where they're trying to get it. We're in the playoffs, right? We're probably going to finish third. We're sort of like now trying to build momentum into the playoffs. Dundee and Fife are fighting for their lives at the minute to try to get into it. That's something I'll come. One thing as well, Davey, and you can add on to this, you can come back on that point and add on this as well. It is good to see Greg Prince out there. That's his first game since January.
Yeah, great to see him back. Good couple of games from the weekend, involved in a lot of good things that happened. I know what you say there, Paddy, about building momentum for the playoffs here, but we're also trying to get minutes under people's legs that have maybe been missing for the last lot of weeks, where guys have been in and out the lineup. You know, Gino was, Miles Gendron was in and out, Coisado was in and out at the weekend, Greg Prince is back, Mark Cooper's back playing a second weekend in a row. Obviously, we've got guys missing as well. Obviously, McLeod's gone down, Charlie Curdy took that puck to the face. So we're just almost doing that late October, early November through December, where you're just not getting any chemistry within lines, where probably the only ones that are really set at the minute have been Tedesco, Goodwin, and Lake. Everything else has sort of been jazzed around a wee bit. Spears missed games, you know, so hopefully that'll settle down over this weekend, the weekend against the Steelers, to let us go fresh at these playoffs. Like, it's, as you say, that this must be a difficult period too for the Giants now, where the number one seed is sort of set in the league now. 2 and 3 look like it's going to be set as well, and 4 probably to an extent. So 5, 6, 7, and 8 are, is where it's going to change around. So this next 2 weekends almost for 1 to 4 are, they're not dead rubbers. There's no such thing as a dead rubber when you're playing sport, but it might be hard to get yourself completely focused and up for games that ultimately aren't going to change anything really in the standings.
No, absolutely not. Let's get the post game for this the game against the Stars.
Yeah, I mean, we knew they were going to be desperate. I mean, and when in the position they're in, and same tomorrow against Fife, that's going to be an urgent hockey team, and we got to match the urgency if we want to win. I mean, that's that was messaging going into tonight and throughout the night. You gotta up the level of game. You know, I mean, I thought there was a lot to like about tonight in terms of the control of the game and the possession and the scoring chances we got. Obviously, we weren't finishing. I guess the execution wasn't there to make sure we were finishing. But obviously, their goaltender was good. He had a great bounce back night tonight. It was good for him. And Dundee's a desperate team. You could tell that, you know, they were battling for everything out there, and that's a huge point for them. You know, for us, that one thing I really liked about that was the no quit there. You know, when things are going against you in terms of you feel like you're controlling the game, but you're down, and it's easy to kind of get down on yourselves and kind of quit. And I felt like earlier in the season that was happening. And now, you know, it was nice to get that comeback win. And, you know, ultimately, if you're going to be a team that wins something, you have to find a way to have some comeback wins. And so that was a good way to start for us.
Bit of both, but I think right now with our runner results lately, I think we just, it's a point gain for us, especially in a tough building like this against a very good hockey team, and, you know, keeps us in the thick of things for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you give up a lot of shots, but on the, you know, but your goaltender played so well, and he almost, you know, won you the game, you know, essentially. I mean, how frustrating is when you concede that late on, you know, to what would have been a, you know, a really famous win?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we beat these guys twice already this season, and we'd like to get a win in here before the playoffs and everything like that. But, you know, right now we'll take the point as is. And, you know, Lucas had a great game for us. Gave us a chance to win tonight. That's all you can ask for from your goalie, and especially after last night's result. And we'll take the point because it's a much needed one.
Adam Keefe and Mark Lefebvre there with the post game. The highlights of this game, of course, are from the lads at Belfast Giants TV. You can find that on YouTube. We move on to the next night, to Saturday night, where we went to Kirkcaldy to the Fife House Arena. Another game in the overtime, but a very different result. It was a 4-3 win for the Fife Flyers. For the Flyers, go on. Lajeunesse, there we go. I want to learn these ones sooner or later. We're near the end of the season, actually. I don't think I need to. Pavlovs and Pulkkinen with the power play goal in overtime to win it. 2 from Ben Lake and 1 from Daniel Tedeschi. Power play for the Belfast Giants, round out to 4-3. Regards to goalkeepers, Tyler Beskarowani, 38 shots on, 4 goals against. Shane Owen, the other side, 37 shots on, 3 goals against. Toby Craig, Daniel Ferguson were your 2 referees. Simon, lacking a 60-minute game.
Only playing 20 minutes. Mm. Yeah, right. First period, we were decent. We got the goal. We should have been 2-0 up. I can't remember who it was, missed the open goal for a 2-0 lead. But you can't make mistakes and take a shift off, and they score 2 goals within a minute, and that gave them the lead. Adam just talked about there, getting back into games and coming from behind. And, you know, you take the lead again to go 3-2 up. But the penalties which we took in the third period were they were sloppy. There were penalties that you didn't need to be taken. We needed to move our feet more, it was just a difficult watch. When you look at the whole game as a 62-minute contest, whatever it is, you know, we stay out of the box, we stop taking stupid penalties, then we've got a chance. But at this level, we talk about Dundee the night before, you know, desperate. Fife, you know, they basically didn't have a game for a week leading into this. And they were fresh and they were ready to go, and we were coming off the back of a of a tough game the night before, and Fife capitalized on it. And you know, the best player on the ice was Troy Lejeunesse. He was absolutely brilliant. Scored two goals, and then obviously you get a you know, you talk about the, I'm pretty sure it was four penalties in the third period, and then we got a penalty going into the overtime period as well, and they managed to get an overtime winner. So it's really frustrating that we just can't string two wins together every weekend. You know, we talk about it earlier this season that we were spoiled last year. We just find that when you got going and you got rolling, we didn't think anybody was going to beat us last year. But this year, it's just been the lack of consistency is the one thing that we have struggled with all season long. And it's disappointing not being able to pick up 2 points from Fife. Although, as I say, Lejeunesse was absolutely brilliant. And that kid, he's not going to be staying in Fife next year. There's going to be a lot of clubs, not just in the EIHL, but there's going to be a lot of clubs in for him for sure.
Consistency, I think, mate, is like, I fully agree. As we've said it all the way through the season, that finding that consistency is what you need to sort of challenge for titles. And unfortunately, the Giants, and week on week, we've seen 4-point weekends, 3-point weekends, two, but no, you think the last season, 4-point weekend, 4-point weekend. We said at the time, don't take them for granted because they don't always come, but it was 4-point weekend of 4-point. We were more often than not coming on this show, you know, regaling the team of superlatives with regards to, you know, how they play. Davey, what was the difference in this game for you?
We made a couple of defensive errors here in the second. We got ourselves into 2-0 lead, and maybe, and Simon said as well there, maybe could have been more. We actually played really well through the first sort of 26, 27 minutes of the game, and we let them shift the momentum back to themselves. We were 2-0 up. At this point here, where we win that, we don't quite win the face-off. They get a bit of winger help, or two D-men going behind. But we have thought attack first, perhaps, maybe rather than defense first there. And you can see our winger on the left-hand side has swung out to the right wing. The right wing. We've got our other wingers came to the left wing. Ben Lake's kind of keeping an eye on what's going on with the 2D men. We've parted like the Red Sea there. And it allows Lejeunesse just the space just to walk right into the slot there, get a shot off on Besko from the low slot. It's a hard one to save. 2-1, and then they come up on the very next shift. Set play, control breakout from their end. We're going this way, they're going that way, and Lejeunesse just finds that little seam. It'll roll through, but he finds that little seam, able to go between the winger and the D-man and just go in one-on-one with Besko and get the shot away. I've seen enough of this. Here it is, here. Sorry, I wound on too much there. So a little set play, it goes the left wing, or the right wing, and then it's just a stretch pass, and he goes through. Top of circles, makes it 2-8. You know, all of a sudden, all the hard work we've done to get ourselves 2-0 up and in the good position on that second night that we've struggled consistently on this season, we've got ourselves in the good position. And unfortunately, we've tilted the ice back in their favour. And then in that third period, Simon's already said it, we'll get in the defensive part into penalty trouble. We actually come back quite quickly and go 3-2 up with a lovely bar play goal from Daniel Tedesco, which they almost mimic their. They're winners, an exact replica of our third goal. If you'll see it here, actually, it goes right the top of the umbrella. It goes to Tedesco there, and he's just standing on the hash marks in the circle. Bang. And that's exactly carbon copy what happens for their goal. But it's actually, they're trying to break out from behind their own net, and Daniel Tedesco's reached in to make a play. And it's tripping. I've seen different ones saying different things about it on Twitter. I think it's an honest enough play. I don't think it's actually a lazy one. It's a high-risk reward one. It's 200 feet from his own net, of course, and you don't like six minor penalties the guy's taken all season, so you can't say it's like typical of him or anything. He's made a play. He's tried to poke the puck away to make an offensive play. It's gone wrong. Obviously, that gives them a 4-on-3 in overtime, and unfortunately for us, we are not able to keep it out. They play exactly the same play against us that we played against them, and that came up with the... That's one there that maybe gets paddled to the corner on a different night. It pops back out in front, and they've tied it up at 3-3. Takes it to overtime as the night before. You know, Adam talked about Dundee being desperate and expecting Fife to be desperate. And once they got a wee sniff of blood in the water, they were able to put the foot down. And we've played half the third period with a man short. So unfortunately for us, that took its toll. And playing short, playing a lot of minutes on the penalty kill, comes up against. It's hard on a Sunday night to play, you know, one period short, and that's what we did. We were only able to play, you know, whatever, 40, 50 minutes this game when you need to be getting 60 at this stage of the season. And unfortunately for us, it just wasn't enough on the night.
Says I'm going to, this is an open goal for you. Ben Lake.
What about him?
Oh, fantastic in this game.
Like, you get what you just ask for, compete, and if you could bottle a compete level from Ben Lake, and you'd be able to sell it every single day of the week. You know what I think of Mankey's class, and you know he brings so much to the table. He doesn't take a shift off. He leads by example. He wouldn't ask you to do anything he wouldn't do himself. The only thing he does wrong is support Liverpool.
Nothing wrong with that.
Laker is the epitome of if you want to look at somebody and go, like, you know, I've said it before, give me a team full of Ben Lakes, it'll be over the moon. But yeah, he can't do it on his own, you know what I mean? And David touched on it there. The only line we're getting consistency off is Lake, Tedesco, and Goody. And we need that secondary and third, what's that word? Tertiary scoring.
Tertiary. Well done, Simon.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, and defensively, you need to step up and score points and goals as well. Rochi, pretty sure Rochi had 3 assists on Sunday night. So, you know, it's we just need to find a way for these last 4 or 5 games of the season to get a cup, get more wins, just get performances, get 60-minute performances. And if we can do that, we're more chance of winning games with a 60-minute performance than what we have of losing.
Let's get the post-game reaction. Yeah. And this from Tom Coolen and Adam Keefe.
Well, I thought that Belfast played a good game, first of all. I thought we started a little tentatively, and we didn't get pucks behind their deep. We didn't get pucks behind their defense when we turned pucks over. And consequently, we didn't get any pressure on their net in the early stages of the game. I think after a while we, you know, played the game the way we're supposed to, and we got our share of the chances a little later. But again, it's like our team all year long. We found a way to come back. We battled back from a 2-0. We battled back from a 3-2, and we found a way to win. I mean, that's been the story of this team. We've never quit, and we didn't quit when we were down 3-2. And Pavlov scored a big goal, tie the game up. They're all big goals when it's a one goal hockey game or playing against a good team. And big call for the nice to score a power play goal in overtime. So all in all, I would say we played well at times. I wasn't 100% thrilled with our game, and we'll talk about that. And but 2 points, you can't knock the 2 points. We've got 11 out of 12 points going in the stretch. I don't know if anybody in the league has that many.
Loved the first 2 periods outside of one shift. Thought we were in control of the hockey game. Third period, yeah, lost our heads, took 4 penalties there inside of the last 25 minutes of the game. I mean, it's hard to win a hockey game like that, especially when you're up against a desperate team like Fife, who is very dangerous. You know, you look across their forward group, they got some real offensive firepower, and you give them 4 power plays, we don't get anything as well. All we do is get tired, and just in terms of game management there in the third period, it's not good enough, and it's disappointing.
Tom Cullen and Adam Keefe there with the post game. You can get this and the highlights of this game on YouTube from Flyers TV. We have David Goodwin coming in the second, but there has been questions raised. I'm just going to throw it out to the 2 of you. Tyler Beskarwani hasn't been playing much. But your hands up. Go on, Simon. With your hands up.
Goody, just before he comes on, is he sitting backstage watching?
He is sitting down below. Yes, he's sitting backstage.
Just before he comes on, he shouted at me this morning. He says, "How come you only ever ask me on when we get beat?"
Listen, I'm going to bring that up when he comes in. I'm going to tell him that when he comes in. Don't you worry.
That's Joe's character, Simon.
Leadership. Tyler Beskarwani getting this game. Davey, he's not getting wins at the minute. Why?
Well, there's $1 million question every, you know, every coach would want to answer.
Don't get me wrong. We love Tyler Besker, Ronnie, what he's achieved in for the Belfast Giants. But you can't not notice the fact that Jackson Whistle has been getting a lot of the starts, and Tyler Besker-Rani, you know, would be for 4-3. I'm not putting the loss down to Tyler Besker-Rani in one iota, but why is he not getting the wins that he's had before?
That's honestly, Paddy, that's you know, it's not for me to critique exactly what's going on, but like if you look at the start of the season up to roughly the end of October, we've gone through like a 13 game. I think we won 13 in the bounce or something like that. You know, yeah. We were playing well. Factors, I don't know. Things have happened that his form has tailed off from where it has been in bygone days. I don't know whether there's injuries at play. I don't know if there's anything else. He had to play an awful lot of ice time when Jackson went down hurt just about that same week.
Yeah.
And basically, we talked about it on the podcast that he was having to train. We brought in Petr Cech to help out in training because Tyler was having to carry so much of the load, and that's got to be a factor. You know, if you look at his numbers, they're not what they were in compared to the other season, but he's something like 27-11. It's not like a disaster. He's been 500 since the end of October as well, which some teams would bite your hand off. Jackson, I was getting the stats earlier on, I can't remember, but he's something similar. Like he's 11-6 or something. He's won the last seven games that he started. So you go with the hot hand on hockey. The way it is, you know. The world over, you know, in the NHL, a hot goalie goes, and at the minute, Jackson's the slightly hotter of the two goalies, so he's playing a bit more of the ice time. You know, I couldn't critique why Tyler Besker-Rani isn't saving as many pucks as he was saving last season. There's multiple factors at play there.
Simon, what's your take on it?
It's a difficult one again. You know, he just hasn't been Besko, and I think that's the easiest way of looking at it. You know, we talk about winning as a team and losing as a team. But when we lose, it seems to be the goalies are getting the more hassle than everybody else. Sorry.
It's the world over and it's sport all over. I was talking on Saturday. Rebecca came down to Bristol to play hockey and they're winning 2-0 and their goalie was having a blinder. They ended up losing 4-3 and it was all the goalie's fault. You win as a team, you lose as a goalie. It's just sport. And unfortunately, it's the same with our club.
You know, Adam's feeling that the best option right now is Wiss. And when you look at the games that are, you know, even at the weekend there against Fife, you can't blame Besko on them all. Does he want one or two of them back? Yeah, he probably would do. And, you know, is Besko this time last year saving those? He might well do. It's a different team. It's a different dynamic. It's just to say, when you're in a rut, you're in a rut. And Besko has been absolutely incredible. And I've said this on numerous occasions in the last few years. He's been the best goalie we've ever had. He's been the best goalie that the Elite League has ever seen. And, you know, there's people going to argue about Greenfield playing this year, and he has been fantastic for the Steelers. But, you know, in my opinion, Besko is the best goalie he's ever played in the IHL. Is he reaching no standards this year? No, he's not. And he'd be the first one to hold his hands up. He's an honest lad. And you know, you think Besko's come out there to lose games? Absolutely not. So it's do you know what? You just can't count them out right now. I'll tell you, you've got an opportunity here of a trophy, and he does love a big bit of silver in his hands. So, you know, you never know what's around the corner here. We've got 5 games left in the league, starting tomorrow night away to Cardiff, again, potentially 4 playoff games. So can't rule them out just yet.
I agree. Every point there.
At the same time, when I say you win as a team, you lose a goalie. We analysed goals there from the Fife game where we didn't think defence first, where we thought we've won that puck and we've spun them. We're going 200 feet from our own net. We're going to score a goal before we've secured the puck. And it's happened twice and we've conceded 2 goals from them. So as a team defence here, we need to be a wee bit stronger on them. We'll, you know, everything tightens up a wee bit around the playoffs as well. So we just need to be a wee bit stronger in our own blue zone as well. And, you know, you can't blame goalies if you want, but there's 6 guys out in the ice, so it'll have to be, there's collective responsibility there.
Absolutely. No, I think that, you know, Tyler Besker-Rani, we know what the ability he has, and hopefully, currently saying these last 5 games can come into the end of the regular season, we get to see more of that. Right, let's crack on with our guest of the show. We have lost to the Fife Flyers. It's time to invite him on. It's the first time he's been on since he came back, I think. Please welcome back to View from the Bridge, David Goodwin. How are you doing, Goody?
Good. Good to see you guys. Thank you.
Welcome back. Listen, I'm going to say this. Yes, you're right. When we were losing games, we lost two games against the Manchester Storm. You were on. I will say that once we won the title, you were on as well. You were back
on.
Yeah,
that's accurate. Me and Besko were on. Yep.
You and Besko. So we're not. It's not all one way. But anyway, listen. Give us your take on the weekend.
Yeah, you know, obviously, like the Dundee game, you know, we come from behind, not ideal, but we showed a lot of character, as Kiefer said. So there's a lot of positives in that. And, you know, the second game of the weekend, we've been struggling like every weekend to win the second game of the weekend. So it's a tough one to put the finger on, but unfortunately, we ran into that same situation on Sunday in Fife. We're delighted to get 1 point out of it, but you know, if we want to string together anything magical this season, we're going to need to figure out how to win 2, 3, 4 in a row.
You probably heard us backstage. You know, we're talking about that second game of the weekend that it has been, and finding that consistency. You know, you've been part of the great Belfast Giants teams the last number of years. That consistency is what you need to win titles. How do you change the sort of thing to try to find that? What do you change to try to find that?
Yeah, I mean, good question. I really think it's a mindset thing. And some of that certainly comes from the leadership, myself, Mark, Ben. You know, we could probably do a little bit better of a job just making sure guys are dialed in on that second night of the weekend. So that's going to be something we're looking to address, you know, going into this weekend with Glasgow and
Cardiff.
Cardiff. Yeah, I mean, I personally think it's a mindset thing. Like we've proven in the last 10, 15 games that we can beat the big dogs. Unfortunately, we have also proven that, you know, we can lose when we're not turned on. So,
David, it's lovely to have you back in Belfast. Was an easy enough decision when the opportunity came around Christmas, or you were probably getting phone calls before Christmas, let's be honest, but after around Christmas, has it been a good enough decision to make it back again?
Yeah, I'm delighted to be back. It was just a timing thing, you know, like, yeah, I obviously been in touch with Kiefer throughout the entire season. But yeah, like the well was starting to run dry in Spain for me. And at the same time, Kiefer was messaging me. So it kind of made sense.
Let's talk about just, I don't know if you caught any of the chat we were having about goalies. It's a lonely position, you know, they get very little of the glamour of the scoring the goals and the points. And, you know, and as we said there, you win as a team, sometimes you lose as a goalie. But I don't know as I say, you caught the tail end, we were talking about defensive responsibility collectively for everyone. It's not just on the goalie.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've heard you guys talking about Besko there. Like, there's a lot of times where we're leaving him out to dry. And, you know, maybe in years past, he's making the saves. You know, maybe this year he isn't making those saves. But at the end of the day, we shouldn't be leaving him out to dry. I would also say that I'm the first one to admit I know absolutely nothing about goaltending. So I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, this guy should be doing this or that differently. I regularly find myself talking to Mark Cooper after the game being like, oh, did our goalie play well? Like, I have no idea, you know, and Mark's like, I don't really know either. So it's a tough one, you know, it's kind of its own little world back there. But Davey, I think you're right. Like, no matter what, we could be playing better defense, myself included. Like, I had some mental errors on the weekend that cost us, and you know, so there's zero finger pointing, I think, from the forwards and defense right now.
Goody, we're obviously talking about, you know, the five games left. You want to try and start building momentum. We won three in a row. We obviously lost on Sunday night in overtime against the Fife Flyers. Next up's the Cardiff Devils. It doesn't get any easier. You know, they're a tough team. You know, this game tomorrow night ultimately is not going to make a massive difference in the league standings. But this is a game you want to go into Cardiff and put your foot down and go, right, guys, you know, let's just really dig in here. It's important to put a performance in and hopefully get that win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think you're right, Simon. Like, we just want to play well. We want to play, you know, in a way that we are building towards something bigger than tomorrow night. And if we win, that's fantastic. And if we lose and still play well, that's okay as well. I do think, I was talking to Laker today, you know, we were like, what's the vibe going to be like in the game tomorrow? Like, you just don't know in these types of games, you know. Cardiff just kind of got eliminated from the title race. We were recently eliminated, like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, the rivalry is massive. Like, you know, me and Laker and Teddy going up against Cox, Sanford, and Joey Martin, like, it doesn't matter if it's an exhibition game, like, it's going to be intense. So there's a little bit of that to read into it, but at the end of the day, the rivalry is huge and it goes back years. So I would expect some intensity.
You talk about the rivalry. You know, you've been obviously here now for a few years, and you've had all those battles with all the teams. Cardiff would be maybe your number one rival, or, you know, number one grudge team to a certain extent, or would it be somebody else in your mind?
Yeah, great question. Another common topic in the locker room: who do we hate more, Cardiff or Sheffield? And, you know, every time the answer is who we've played most recently. And so right now we hate Sheffield the most because we had just played them, but I'm sure in 24 hours from now, we're going to be sitting on that bus saying, God, do we hate those guys?
Is that a common thing? Like, is that like for the clubs that you've played for and the sort of career you've had at different clubs, do you have that sort of, no, it's always just the recent ones, or is it always just, you know, who you're playing or like who's leading the way? I'm sure this is a reciprocal thing. I'm sure that you were hated last year by Sheffield, by Cardiff, probably Sale, you know, and the way that you guys, you know, because we were winning titles.
Especially because we had Scott Conway on the team too.
Yeah.
One of the most hated players in the league. So that didn't help our case.
Love it.
Patty, like it's all short memory. It's who have we most recently played? Absolutely. And that's in any league. That's not just a thing here. So it's always, yeah, with Sheffield, Cardiff, and Belfast, I'm sure if you ask any of the guys, it's whoever we've played most recently.
Tell us about Spain. What was it like playing out there?
The first thing I would say is, you know, and I've learned this in any league in Europe, and, you know, I'm referring to the SHL, Liga, Allsvenskan, Poland, the hockey is always better than you think it's going to be. So when I signed in the SHL, I knew it was like top three league in the world, and it was still better than I thought it was going to be. So Spain, you know, obviously massive step down in level of play, but absolutely better than I thought it was going to be. You know, guys can skate really well, some high-end athletes there. I think they probably lacked a little bit of hockey sense and hockey knowledge, IQ, but great athletes, great skaters. Kind of the league was top heavy, us, Barcelona, a couple other teams. We kind of ran the league. The lower teams struggled, but overall, great experience. I love the culture. I love the language. And those were kind of the main reasons why I went there.
That was going to be my question. Why Spain? Because I think a lot of us just went, wow. I'm not running that league down because I'm sure we get it. We get it from like across Europe. Why is David Goodwin coming to the EHL? He's been playing in the SHL. But then we see you, a title winning captain, going to Spain, and it raises an eyebrow. I said, but you obviously have a love for the country.
Yeah, and Patty, that would be in line with the DMs I was getting in my Instagram account of why are you in Spain? I went to Spain. Yeah, I mean, at some point in my life, I will be teaching Spanish, you know, at the high school level, at the elementary level. I have a degree in Spanish. And what better way to kind of perfect my Spanish speaking ability than go fully immersion experience? It was funny. We one of my first weekends back, we were in Guildford and we lost. So this must have been in January or early Feb, and we ordered Chipotle and it came Deliveroo, and there was an issue with the order. We didn't get all the orders and we had to go pick some up from the restaurant, and the Deliveroo driver couldn't speak any English. And again, like, we're on the bus, like, Kiefer's not in the best mood and whatever, and Kiefer just yells back, "Goody, get up here." And I get up to the front of the bus, and basically I had this, you know, 5-minute conversation with the Deliveroo driver. Afterwards, we get back on the bus, and Kiefer had been listening to the conversation. He was like, "That was wildly impressive." And I was like, "Oh, I guess he's not too mad about this loss we just had in Guildford." So those were the reasons why I went to Spain, so I could do more of that stuff.
Fair enough.
Did you notice any major difference in, say, the officiating? What was the officiating like in Spain?
Not good.
I mean, just leave it there.
I mean, yeah, like I would say, like, you know, on a, you know, better, not, you know, obviously here is better, but it's similar in the sense that no refs in Spain grew up playing ice hockey. So they don't really know the game. They don't know where to look. They don't know where to, you know, they don't really, it would be like me trying to ref Gaelic football after studying this sport for 2 years. Like, yeah, I would know the rules, but I don't know where to look. Like, I don't know the game. So that's what it was like in Spain. And, you know, kind of similar a little bit in the UK, I think, with some of the refs. So
let's quickly get off that topic and bring it back to, you know, the last few games we've got here. We've got what, five league games, and a 2 week, hopefully a 2 week playoff weekend or playoff run. That sort of carrot, the dangle that this season could still end with a banner and a trophy, has to be the driving force for the next five games.
Absolutely. You know, no matter what team you are, if you win a trophy in a season, it's a successful season. You know, like Sheffield would have, you know, obviously they're happy with two, but if they would have won one, they would have been happy. So yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the goal. That's why, you know, I would say, like, me and Cully came back and we're here to win a trophy, and all the guys seem dialed in on that. So absolutely the goal, and absolutely what we're preparing for over these next five league games.
Goody, just touching on that, you want to go finish the season winning your last game. I mean, you did that last year, after a couple of years when you know we were beating the playoff final by Cardiff the year before, and I know that hurt you, and I knew that that hurt that group in that room that year. But when you win that last game of the season, it just makes your summer a whole lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you go into the summer in a great mood. Management's, you know, leaving on a good note. The guys are leaving on a good note. Like, you know, I know it's a little bit different in this league, but in hockey in general, you play to win the last game of the season. And this year, like, that's what we're going to try to do.
And then it starts tomorrow night with the coming up against the Cardiff Devils. How's prep going for tomorrow, mate?
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, kind of a strange week, like traveling back on Monday, short skate on Tuesday, leaving on Wednesday. But, you know, I think there's been good energy in the locker room with the guys. We've been at Dundonald a lot the last couple of weeks, but that hasn't seemed to, you know, crush our spirits maybe like it would in November or January. So, yeah, good prep, and, you know, the travel doesn't seem too bad tomorrow, so a good flight, and it seems like the guys are ready to go.
I'm going to take up two questions we've got from people who are watching in. One from Kevin Madden saying, "Goody, you walk into the locker room before the first playoff game as a coach. What's the first thing you're telling the guys?"
Kiefer has a phrase. It's not his phrase, but he uses it a lot in playoffs. "Let's not rise to the occasion, but let's fall back on our training." And that's what I would expect Kiefer to say, and that's what I would say as well. And that just means, hey, like, we've been putting the work in all year. We don't need to elevate our game. We don't need to, you know, we're already there. Let's just fall back on all the preparation we've done.
And the last question of before we let you go comes from Niamh saying, "Could you ever look out the window in days like today and think, man, I miss Spain?"
yes, absolutely.
Mate, listen, we really appreciate you coming on. It's good to see you back, and thanks for joining us. Good luck against Cardiff and in this running.
Alrighty, thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thanks, good.
Big thanks to David Goodwin, always great having on. Good to see him back, love having him on the show. Top lad. Right, we're going to do some league news. Normally play the goals of the week, but there hasn't been one yet. I don't know what's been going on. They've not been doing the goals of the week. But anyway, there's only one place to start. of course, there's only one place to start. And it's amiss of us not to offer our heartfelt congratulations to the Manchester Storm on reaching the playoffs for this once again. And, you know, home and away wins over the Blaze has put an X by their name, and it qualifies them for the postseason. Well done to Matt Ginn and the Storm. Great achievement once again to do that. In other playoff news this weekend, I think the Steelers solidified the number one seed for the postseason. But despite having that number one seed, apparently they're playing their home leg on Friday night, the 12th of April at Ice Sheffield. Obviously, just not a big deal. The battle of the bottom, however, is really heating up. Nottingham only took 1 point from the weekend, a 7-6 defeat in a shootout against the Cardiff Devils, having already lost 4-2 to the Steelers the night before. Dundee and Fife, we know what they got in their games, and we've said there about the games that the Storm took over the Coventry Blaze. So let's actually have a look at that bottom half of the table, gents. I'll bring it up here. There we go. Don't know what that C is next to the Sheffield Steelers. I think it means seed, number one seed. I can't spell. So obviously we've got Guildford are yet to qualify. They're 54 points from 50 games. Fife, Glasgow and the Coventry Blaze are all on 47 points, having played 49 games. Dundee, 45 points, 2 points back, having played 49. And Nottingham Panthers are really up against it. They're on 41 points with 49 games played. Says, I'll start with you. Where's this going to go?
Coventry are really struggling. I don't know if it's, you know, obviously since Dale Keane's passing, they've sort of went on a bit of a skid, and do you know what? It's not surprising. You know, it's tough to lose somebody in a locker room during the season, and one that is very, very well liked. And the Blaze, they really need to get something of these games this weekend, because if they don't, they're going to be in big trouble. The Flyers, I mean, they were ninth when we were playing them on Saturday, and we're winning 2-1. They're sitting in ninth position, and then all of a sudden they turn around, pick up the 2 points, and they jump three places. So that's how tight it is at the bottom of the standings. And, you know, Glasgow, we've got Glasgow on Saturday. Fife have got Dundee twice over the last weekend of the season. So you know that's going to be a tough one for them as well. Pretty sure Fife have got Sheffield, which, and let's be honest, you know, Sheffield obviously finishing up number one seed, but you know, they've got they might be leaving guys out now between now and the end of the season to try and make sure they're ready to go for any niggles that they've picked up over the last while. But you just never know what Sheffield team's going to turn up now between now and the end of the season. They might just decide that they want to keep on winning, and that's up to Aaron Fox and co. But it is so, so tight. I have absolutely no idea which way that's going to end up. But right now, the only one I'm concentrating on is whoever's in sixth place, because ultimately that looks like 4 and 5 look like they're going to be set in stone, might switch around with regards to who's home and who's away. But we look like we're going to finish third, and whoever finished sixth is what we're up against in the playoffs. So right now, it's the Fife Flyers, but it's whoever you get, Fife, Dundee, Coventry or Glasgow, it's not going to be an easy 2-game weekend, believe you me.
Panthers, Davey, have they a chance? Are they in with a fighting chance to get that 8th spot, or do you think it's going to be just a little bit too much for them?
Just see, the travel to Fife, home to Coventry, home to Glasgow, and away to Manchester, and home to Manchester. 28th, 30th, and the 1st. So the three games in 4 days that are coming up over the next, you know, over the next weekend. It's going to be difficult for them. You know, their form has been up and down. I don't know, Paddy. Mystic Meg couldn't do this. You know, Fife have got 4 of their next 5 games at home as well. So I think Fife might be well set there to take that 6th place down. I don't think they're going to catch Guildford. And Guildford getting off out of their last 4 to pass Manchester, I don't know. 4, 5, 6 might be set, and then it's take your pick, Perm, any 2 of the last 4 there. Coventry have been on that wee bit of a skid. Yeah, it's just one game can turn it around for you, but let's see who's Coventry's next. Give me a second. Let's see. Coventry fixtures. Away to Nottingham, away to Guildford, home to Manchester, away to Cardiff, home to Guildford. It's not an easy run either, you know. Dundee, big games this weekend again against their away to Glasgow, home to, I'm going to say they're home to somebody, home to Manchester. So the bottom half's all playing each other here. So there's going to be change, but I don't see it finishing in that order. But I wouldn't like to put any money on it.
Says you were going to come in there.
Yeah, Manchester is sitting in fourth place right now. They'll want to stay there because then they get which choice, what game they actually want to play, whether it's the stay at home on Friday or Saturday or Sunday that weekend. So whoever finishes the top half of the table, they get their choice of home game. So that might be, if they do play Guildford, they might make Guildford travel twice, which means they've got to come up to Manchester on a Saturday and then travel back down for their game on the Sunday. No idea which way the Storm are going to pick their home game. But, you know, they'll want to finish above Guildford to get that option.
So I believe our
basically they're going to play an important part because, as Davey said, they're playing Fife, they're playing Dundee, they're playing Coventry, and that's in the last 2 weeks of the season.
I believe our playoff game is on the Saturday, I think it's been announced, isn't it? The Saturday the 13th of April.
Yep.
But I don't remember a playoff battle quite like this in many, many years in the Elite League. You sometimes you get three, sometimes you get four. You realistically have five teams here in this battle, that, and as you say, they'll be playing each other a lot over the next couple of weeks.
I just think that I personally think the Panthers are done. I don't think they're going to be able to get it back. I mean, ultimately, they need to win four of their last five to have any chance, and that's a tough ask. Like, you know, I said it a while ago. Obviously, with everything that's been on in Nottingham this year, it's been it's been an absolutely tough ride for them this year. And I said it again back in probably December time. I think that Jonathan Paraday should get the coach of the year for holding that group together and finishing the season, to be very, very honest. No matter who wins the league, playoffs, Challenge Cup, doesn't matter. He should be getting the coach of the year. Because they've had a real, real tough season.
You look at that game at the weekend against the Cardiff Devils, and the way that went, 6-6 going into overtime. A remarkable battle. But ultimately, they only took the point away from it. But the fight is definitely there.
Well, ultimately, they basically took Cardiff to overtime to win their fiercest rivals a league. That's basically what happened, because Cardiff wouldn't have
had. What's happened?
So Cardiff
basically got them the number one seed.
Yeah. So Cardiff basically, because they didn't win that game in regulation. If they had won the game in regulation, it would have went to tomorrow night with Belfast getting to Cardiff. But because Cardiff ended up going to overtime, but Nottingham getting back into that game, that's what won the Steelers number one place.
Indeed. It's going to be interesting next couple of weeks, most certainly at that bottom half of the table, right? Belfast Giants have three games in the next week, starting on Wednesday night, tomorrow night if you're watching this live, 7:30 p.m. in the Kyle Bond Arena in Cardiff Bay. You can get that on Devils TV with Gareth. Giants against Clan, Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. No doubt, another big crowd, over 7,000 at the weekend there for the Dundee game, mate. And are we close to that again coming into this weekend?
With the darts on Thursday night, we're not able to put the East End in, so it's very, very close to a sellout right now. There's only single seats left.
All right, get your tickets sorted out for that. And if you don't get to the game, you can watch it on Giants TV with Simon. And then back to the Kyle Bond Arena in Cardiff on Sunday, 6 p.m. against the Devils. So three games, two against Cardiff, one against Clan. Any other business, gents?
Yeah, I've got one. Jude McVeigh was in hospital today again. Follow-up treatment on her diagnosis last year. I'm not too sure what it's about, but just let her know we're all thinking about her and hopefully she's okay. Again, they've had a tough 18 months, 2 years. Gareth and Jude and young Noah. So hopefully she's okay and back on her feet again very quickly.
Here. And a big shout out to her. She was watching the View from the Bridge last week and she tweeted about it. It was very humbling to see that she enjoys watching it. But yeah, good for her.
Thanks. End the season event is at the SSC Arena Sunday, Sunday the 7th of April. Tickets are now available. It'll be at sale on the OSC desk on Saturday night at the game. We're going to announce something special happening that night as well. I think that'll be announced probably tomorrow. Get along, get your tickets. They're selling very, very fast. And hopefully have another decent night at the arena at the end of the season.
Before I come to you, Davey, just quickly, we had a shout out, a bit of a shout out here to Noah, age 7, who did this. Were you just about to say that, Davey?
Just texting you there to go get the Easter egg picture up.
Yeah, David Kennedy sent that in. Noah, well done. He did this with Daniel Tedesco in regards to the Easter egg. Well done. Well done to Noah. Absolutely.
That looks more like Teddy than Teddy does.
Top work, Noah, and I know he's been allowed to sit up late and watch Views in the Bridge tonight because he must be off school, but good lad, Noah, well done, mate, well done. Anything for you, David?
Just a massive congratulations and thank you to Jasmine Parker for everything she did. Was 4,105 I think I seen on her Facebook, 4,105 Easter eggs. Incredible. And she's going around hospitals at the minute to getting them handed over. She was at Ulster today, 400 and something eggs in the Ulster. So credit their family, credit to herself. So she has only 13, 14, Sam, something like that.
She's a great kid. Absolutely.
These kids inspire us to try and be better people. So well done, Jasmine.
Super. Outstanding from Jasmine. But I was going to mention that Mark Cooper didn't get any points at the weekend for us to add to that.
No. Oh, he got very close. I tell you what, on Friday or on Saturday night, we could have been very, very expensive night for us if things had went slightly different for him. But
what's that? It was
10 eggs a point. He near scored the first minute of the game. I was near driving to Tesco's during the break, you know, but it didn't work out. But
we had two competitions last week as well for the crossbar, and he still missed. So happy
day. Did he?
Two quid up this year. He still owes me 3 from last year. So big five British pounds, and hopefully he'll pay me that.
I said, Kevin Madden was asking that question to see how the crossbar challenge is going. We have to keep an eye on that. But yes, right. So if that's it, gents, we'll start to wrap things up. We said 3 games for the Belfast Giants in the next 7 days. 2 in Cardiff, the first one tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at the Kyle Bond Arena in Cardiff Bay. And you'll get that on Devils TV. Back to Belfast for the game against the Clan on Saturday at 7, and then back to Cardiff on Sunday at 6. But we start with that game on Wednesday night. Big thanks to Goody, David Goodwin, for coming in. That's a good pun from Anthony Russell. Daniel Ted Eggs go. Bravo on that pun, Anthony. 13 years of banners on the wall as well. Is the work he's been doing with regards to the Busy Soap Bison and the NIHL. So big shout out to Anthony Russell, top, top lad. Big thanks to David Goodwin. Thanks to you, gents, as always. Go on, Kitty.
Well, sorry, one last thing. Thank you to Jason Bowen, Shane Johnson, and Rob Stewart for the new studio was going to be there anyway. But they came along on Saturday night and
Retro
Night. Rocked the retro jerseys, which looked absolutely incredible. They've been so popular. Like, loads of people asking about them. And I think, pretty sure they went on sale today because there's been that much interest in them. But
lovely to see a teal jersey again. Really cracking.
It looked absolutely brilliant, mate. It really did. But, you know, we read a few words out about the three boys. They got a text from Davey Goosebumps. And, you know, just remembering what, you know, those three guys did for our organization back in 2000 and, well, obviously for multiple years after that. And Stewie's still doing it. But, it was really nice to get them on the ice. And there was a standing ovation for them, which was even better. So, you know, they just goes to show that they haven't been forgotten.
I text you more at the time. Says, I know you said you couldn't quite pick up what the microphones were saying and you were sort of talking over a wee bit, but you could hear enough. You could hear the aviation. You could hear David McCadden reading out stats and little, he's gray, he's old, his clipboard's made of gold or whatever. Goosebumps, because they were the guys that we grew up with. we're blessed that we're able to follow this current team, but we grew up with Jason Bowen, Rob Stewart, Shane Johnson, all those guys. And that's what give us our foundational love for this club. And you know, those guys will always be just ingrained in our history. So, oh, it was goosebumps. I could sit and think about those guys all day long.
Yeah.
And Bozy and his, you know, 60 pounds worth of chicken wings as we've been had, yes.
Big pile of chicken wings, and then he asked you and me to pay for them. Is that what that was?
Pretty much. Yeah. Let's go Hoppers. Go Hoppers, lads.
Go Hoppers. We only turned that in. Just turned up. Didn't have a single one. He says, let's split this bill. He's like, we've only had a pint. What's this? Yeah. So Bozy's top crack.
But we won the playoffs that afternoon, so all good.
We did indeed. And I remember Bozy coming out of the locker room and saying something I'm not going to repeat, but it made me laugh a lot when he came out of there. It
made me laugh what he said to you the night before in Hooters as well. Probably can't remember.
Boxy was there.
I let the cat out of the bag last week. I didn't realize at the time that it was a secret for Boxy coming in for somebody. So it, I got a bit of a Laura text me straight away instead when she found out about it, and I'm sort of balls. But great to see Boxy back again, and Alyssa was here as well. And went out for dinner on Sunday night with him. He's just a top guy. Managed to get him on Saturday night's game for the third period.
It's good to hear him on the show. It's good to hear him on the podcast.
What's that?
You paid like?
No, I did not, mate. They bought us dinner on Sunday night. It was very much appreciated. Yeah, very much appreciated. I paid for lunch on
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
No, it was here. Whatever it was, Saturday and something. But yeah,
tell you what, all your co-coms the other night were. It was great. Matt McLeod was superb as well.
He was
really, really good.
He was
loved it. It's a good wee production you've got going there.
Might catch on. But no, listen, at that, gents, we shall leave it be. Big thanks to everybody who's been tuning in, sending us messages through the show. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com, YouTube, all the normal sort of places. You know, I'm not going to bore you with all that sort of stuff. We'll be back next week, as always, and wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.